off his buddy Bubba to win at New Hampshire Motor Speedway. Denny Hamlin clinches the regular season, and now NASCAR heads south to the high banks of Daytona for a little Saturday night under the lights action.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
Welcome to the show. One race left in the 2026 regular season for the NASCAR Cup Series, and most of the big questions have been answered before we head to Daytona. One, that Ford is back somewhat. They've shown a lot of strength lately. And two, Denny Hamlin is the regular season champion. He will go in with a 25-point cushion. Let's hear how Ryan Blaney got it done at New Hampshire.
White flag is out for Ryan Blaney. He'll cross the granite stripe, hoping to go back-to-back in New Hampshire.
Has the lead he needs here on the final lap going into turn number one. No lap traffic ahead for Ryan Blaney that he's going to have to navigate here in the next mile. Looking for another win here at the Magic Mile. He is off of turn two and up the back stretch for the final time.
Bubba Wallace hustled his way around the lap car of Carson Hocevar. One final shot down into turns three and four. They're running similar lines, but Bubba doesn't have the momentum. Out of turn number four, Ryan Blaney's going to go back-to-back in the Granite State. Blaney wins the Dollar Tree 301 at New Hampshire Motor Speedway by a half a second over Bubba Wallace.
Nick Yeoman with the call on the Performance Racing Network at the Magic Mile, where Ryan Blaney flashed again. Once again, I'm Doug Rice, joined today by David Stiles and from Speedway Motorsports, Samantha Waddell. And David, it's apparent that Ryan Blaney loves it when we head to New Hampshire.
I think those Penske cars just love it in general. They've been really strong on the short tracks all season long, and they're having a great resurgence through the summer here as we get ready to head in to the last 10 races of the season in this marathon that will be the Chase. We've got one left at Daytona. And oh yeah, they're pretty good at these speedway tracks too. So I think this Penske push has been in full effect. I know Logano didn't have the day that he wanted, but Cindric, kind of middle of the pack, but Ryan Blaney, man, he's really, really good at this style of track.
There was no stopping him. And I think that when we were talking about it earlier, you look at earlier in the season, it was all about Toyota and what Toyota was going to do. Ford's really come in there and really ramming through. I mean, what have they got? Four of the last six races, they have taken the checkered flag. So I think it really, when you look at that, of course, Blaney, he was unstoppable. There was really nothing that was going to come between him and that checkered flag.
I felt there was a sense of inevitability when he got the lead late in the race.
Yes.
And yeah. I was actually texting with a couple of people that were in New Hampshire, and I said, I think it's done now. Bubba made it interesting, but I never really felt like he was going to get him, David.
I mean, he led 115 laps, the last 74 laps of the race, and that's despite even having a little bit of a snafu there on pit road. Mm-hmm. And his pit team has been in question marks all season long. But he said it in one of his post-race interviews, when they give me a fast car and I have the ability to drive through traffic and put myself in a position to win races, we have to capitalize. And he's won two out of the last, seven races starting back in Echo Park. And to think that Ford had a 15-race winless streak up until that point when he won at Echo Park earlier in the summer, they're on a tear, and he's locked up second place in the points now. I think that this could end up being a shootout between him and Denny Hamlin as we get ready to move into the later part of the season.
And I think you would also be remiss, though, if you start looking at yesterday's race, to not talk about Bubba Wallace and Josh Berry. I mean, the battle of the three of them was so much fun, and it was dynamic, and it was something you wanted to cheer for all three of them to do well and to succeed, because it was fun to watch each one of those scenarios and those schemes kind of play out.
I felt like yesterday's race was entertaining, and I always want to walk away from a race going like, okay, I got something out of that. I had to be invested in this, because you did have a story. It wasn't just a walk-off like we saw at Richmond in Iowa.
No, I fully agree, and we also had wet weather at the beginning of this one, where they put the wet weather tires on, and I think this Josh Berry story is just phenomenal. He doesn't have a ride next year. He's looking for a new home. Jesse Love will be piloting his car. But if you look at his stats, fourth straight top 10 for Josh Berry. He has more top 10s than a handful of drivers that are pretty competitive. Austin Cindric, Michael McDowell, Ross Chastain. He's led more laps than Keselowski, Suarez, and Eric Jones. And that's a Penske-alliance team. So we're kind of on this thread of the Fords are starting to matriculate their stats at the right time.
Yeah, and I think that Josh was just fun to watch. It was cool to see that, almost I'm going to say the light come on in terms for like the fan base to see the driver that Josh Berry is. People have seen and know who he is, but to watch him drive and maneuver around the field was a lot of fun. I mean, in fact, he has led the most laps of any Wood Brothers car ever at New Hampshire with 73 laps.
Wow.
I mean, he was impressive. It was fun. It was exciting, and it gave you that extra energy oomph that you were looking for when you walked away from the race.
And it's funny. This started at Indy, finished seventh there, finished fourth at Iowa, eighth at Richmond, and then third at New Hampshire. As you said, a nice little four-race run. I don't know where this guy was at the first of the year, but after he got fired, it was almost like, one, I think Ford has gotten better.
I agree.
Two, I think he's racing free now. There's no pressure to get into the thing. And ironically enough, I think his performance level's jumped.
He's building the resume. He's building a case for himself that, hey, I belong here. I belong in the Cup Series. I am good enough to run here. Someone needs to give me a shot. I know there are some open truck seats. There are some open O'Reilly seats. But if you're four consecutive top tens, you definitely belong in a ride in the Cup Series. And I think it's just a matter of time before somebody scoops him up. I know that we don't have the open availability right now for him to go somewhere, but I think that we'll see him in a car next year running something somewhere.
Completely agree. He's too great and too exciting to watch to not see him land in a seat. He's got the resume built. He did the work. And like you mentioned, he's racing free. There's a handful of drivers who have gotten a contract renewed. They're driving like a totally different guy. Guys who have lost their seats, driving like a totally different guy. So I think that there is something to that, the weight of the world on your shoulders. And now you're like, guess what? Let me just show you what I can do.
Well, Matt Colley's going to be on the show later. Let's see if Matt will give Josh a ride for next year when he rolls out the Dodge program.
Why not? It'd be good to see Dodge back in the Cup Series. I'd be excited for that.
Yeah, but for Josh, I'm happy. Always a very personable guy, easy to talk to, has earned his stripes in this. Didn't show up with a bag of money to buy a ride.
No.
And has done this, so good on him. We'll see. The future's not done for him.
No.
This is not a dead end. Maybe it's a bump in the road, pretty big one, but I don't think he's done. By the way, let's go ahead and hear from race winner Ryan Blaney.
Well, the momentum that Team Penske has on their side is great, you know, and Ford and, you know, Team Penske in general have been on a pretty good tear the last couple months, and it's been fun to work through it with everybody and try to get better and better. So just keep going. I'm a big believer in momentum and things like that. We just have to keep working at it, and hopefully we make a run at it.
In our next segment, we're going to break down the fact that he is making a big run for the championship, and what is the bet on Ryan Blaney right now. But first off, let's give you this Toyota Performance Report brought to you by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be a part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. Bubba Wallace was the highest finishing Toyota at New Hampshire. He finished second. Fourth went to Christopher Bell. Ty Gibbs was sixth. Seventh, Denny Hamlin. And Tyler Reddick was eighth. And those were your top 10 finishing Toyota drivers at New Hampshire in what turned out to be a really competitive and fun race. We'll take a break. Come right back. Talk a little bit more about race winner Ryan Blaney.
How did Christopher Bell become Christopher Bell? It started as a fire within, a drive to be better, faster, sharper. Toyota saw that fire, kindled it, gave it resources to grow. Hours in the simulator, weeks working with Toyota engineers, years of rigorous training. It didn't happen overnight. It definitely didn't happen alone. But that fire now forges a legacy. That's how you inspire the next generation of racing. That's how Christopher Bell became Christopher Bell. Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal and is so easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and X to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name Z-Max for your car. Big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
I'm Eric Jones, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
It's time for a PRN Pit Stop. Today, we're getting to know Nick Yeoman.
Let's crack him up.
Who's the first person you called when you found out you were joining the PRN booth this year?
It was my dad, who, I mean, he's the reason I'm a racing fan. There's pictures of me in a crib just like hours old, and I've got like a Bill Elliott, like Coors Light number 9 hat on. It's like much larger than my head, and I have a large head. So he was definitely the one that I reached out to first.
What's the best advice you have for an aspiring broadcaster?
Well, it's going to sound silly, but it really is as simple as call what you see.
What's the craziest call you've made in your career?
Turn number 2 for the Indianapolis 500, when Scott Dixon soared through the air, I called it live, and seeing Scott Dixon's car fly through the air in flame, fire, you know, debris everywhere, that was probably the biggest one that stands out to me.
This was a PRN Pit Stop with Nick Yeoman.
Fast Talk here on the Performance Racing Network. Samantha Waddell, David Stiles, I'm Doug Rice. Let's go ahead and take a deep dive here on Ryan Blaney. For the first half of the season, the Fords were not to be seen. It's been an all Toyota show. And it feels like, and it looks like genuinely, David, at least the Blue Oval has eroded away a little bit of the dominance of Toyota, led by Ryan Blaney, of course.
I think that the set of tracks that we've been at over the last number of weeks have been really, really good for Ford. Ford has been good on the short tracks. We've seen Joey Logano move from 20th to 9th in points. Ryan Blaney also with 2 wins in this section. And they've got all this momentum going forward. And this is what I fully believe. I believe there's a Penske push after May is over, after the Indy 500. I know that that's not a thing that you can quantify, but they really know how to capitalize in these moments where we need to be good and we need to make sure that our program is on track. And if they get their intermediate track package figured out, I think they can really make a concerted effort to make a push for a championship out of this chase. I think both of those drivers are still very much in the hunt. And the reason I say that is we're going to reset these points. Mm-hmm. After Daytona, the top 16 will get reset. The distance from first to 16th is only 100 points. Ryan Blaney's currently sitting in second, and Hamlin has a pretty big points lead over him. And that'll get reset to what, 25-ish points?
Yeah.
That's so doable. If someone gets hot at the right time and they go through these next 10 races after Daytona, it's not out of the realm of possibility that he could pass Hamlin and Toyota could be on the outside looking in after they've had such a dominant start to the year.
I agree with you. I think that there's something to that. And I think that you look at the races that are left for the chase and who's won those. I mean, Ford has a really solid chance of being able to make this happen.
And that's funny because at the first of the season, we were talking about the fact the regular season was already won by Tyler Reddick.
Yeah, we had crowned him the champion.
And it seems like it was last year that Tyler Reddick was the hottest property in the world. He won 5 of the first 10 races. He won the first 3 races. And all of this praise, and then it's just like overnight, he lost the mojo. And I mean, he spun out, what, on lap 3? Or was it the first lap?
It was the first lap.
When they came out on the wet weather tires. And I felt like that almost condemned him for the rest of the race. We don't know how good he was.
And he was terrible in practice.
Yeah.
Absolutely atrocious. And then he wins the pole. And that's just like a microcosm for his entire season.
Yeah.
So he goes and wins the pole. And Andrew Curlin talked to him and said, you were 31st in practice. And he goes, I didn't even know the car had that in it. And so then he goes out on the pole and spins out. And it's just like a comedy of errors. It's like watching one of your favorite rom-com movies and everything bad that happens to the one guy just continues to happen.
It continues to happen.
And I fully agree, Doug. I think that the mojo is just off over there. I know they've had a meeting with Michael Jordan where he came in and talked to each one of the teams trying to pump them up and get some energy behind them. And I just don't know if they're going to have enough to make a push here late in the season. I think that they don't really have a shot as far as the momentum goes.
I think that they just need that reset button, right? And the chase resetting, clearing the points might be that moment that there is that, I'm going to say, the carrot dangling over there that you can attack and that you can get after. I think that there is the realm of possibilities that that can happen. I don't know that there's really anybody that you can completely shut out and say, there's no shot. There's no way that you're going to be able to tackle this and you're going to take the championship. Granted, there are the three that you assume will be the ones contending, but it's kind of anybody's game once you get there.
And now I feel like it's a Ryan Blaney game. He's definitely, maybe, I'm not going to forget Ty Gibbs. Ty Gibbs still has fast race cars and is racing better than he's ever done before. I have more faith in Ty Gibbs than I do right now in Tyler Reddick, because Reddick's just going in the wrong direction. If you're a believer in momentum, his is all negative at the moment.
Well, and another point where Ryan Blaney and Team Penske are so good at these tracks that we've been at. Tyler Reddick, historically not good at these tracks we have been at. And now we're going to go back to Daytona, where he won earlier in the season. Then we'll go to Darlington, where he's always been very good. So we'll see if he can come back from this slump that he has been in. He's still top four in points. I think that there may just be too much of a mountain for him to climb as far as the mental aspect of this goes, but we'll all find out together. That's the beauty of what racing is. We have to run every single lap, and we're going to find out if he can come back from this.
But I do think, too, that, I mean, you look at the races that are left in the chase, Tyler's found success at a handful of those. Ryan's found success at a handful. You look at the guys that have won, and you look at where they've won at, there is that probability that you're really going to have a fun wild card of a gamble when we really get into the chase.
Ryan's also been there, done that.
Yep.
Former and champion.
That means more than I think we give him credit for. One other thing, David, we talked about this a lot on previous shows. We've heard so many people preach, oh, you've got to be in the top five to win the title. And I bought into that for a while, but I've seen a couple of things happen this year. This big surge by Joey Logano to come from outside the cut line to be ninth now in points. The plummet of Tyler Reddick that we've already talked about. I don't know that you have to be in the top five. I think this could go all the way down to the top 10 getting into the chase, having a legit shot.
I mean, legitimately, 100 points from first to 16th. If you're in 16th and all of a sudden you turn it on and go through a five or six race stretch where you're just unbeatable, it's doable. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility. You're mathematically still in it. I think it's anybody's game. I think if you're in that top 16, you have a legitimate shot to win the championship, and you just have to play your cards right and make sure that you're maximizing every single point that you can, because we've seen it. You don't have to get a bunch of wins to be able to be successful in this format. You have to be very, very consistent, and we've seen a number of people do that. Ty Gibbs is one of them. He's got two wins on the season, yes, but he runs very consistent week in and week out, and they're maximizing every single one of those points.
I'm not quite as bullish as you are. I'll go to the top 10. If you're 11th through 16, there's a reason you're there.
Yeah.
You probably don't have the secret sauce to put you over the top to get to be a legit playoff player. Matt Colick is scheduled to join us here and talk about his work with the NASCAR Foundation, and we may even get in a couple of questions about racing. Stick here with us on Fast Talk.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Don't just come for the race. Come for the music, the tailgates, the campground, the friends, all of the action. At some places, they call this a race. We call it a festival. Experience the Bank of America 400, Sunday, October 11th at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Get tickets at charlottemotorspeedway.com. Festival, the weekend NASCAR was built for.
I'm Austin Dillon, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
I'm I'm David Stiles, and each weekday, Andrew Kurland and I bring you the biggest stories from the garage on our daily show, Garage Pass.
I finally got onto a smooth road and just did one of those nodders and woke up tumbling, you know, out through the middle of the desert. And we had literally a vehicle that would move down the race course and chase you. Well, our chase truck got into a fender bender in a small little town, and the guys got locked up in jail.
That's PRN's Garage Pass right here.
Hey, race fans, we can't wait to see you right here at New Hampshire Motor Speedway for a wicked fast, wicked fun weekend this August as we host New England's only NASCAR Cup Series weekend. Live performances, driver appearances. Don't forget to keep an eye on NHMS.com as we count down to New England's only NASCAR Cup weekend, August 21st through the 23rd, right here at New Hampshire Motor Speedway, New England's big track, where it's always about family, friends, and fun.
Fast Talk, Doug Rice with Samantha Waddell and David Stiles. And annually, we are always thrilled to have Matt Colick drop by on the show. And Matt is a big giver. He and his team and his family work tenaciously to help benefit the NASCAR foundations. And Matt, you guys have been doing this for a long time. And once again, you're coming to the plate to help people out. By the way, thanks for joining us on the show. Really appreciate it.
You got it, man. It's, it's Monday, and excited to get the week started again. And you're right, and I love the way you say that we're big givers, because we are. We love that message. You know, I do so many things in business, you know, whether it's Leaf Filter or like any one of our 70 businesses. And, you know, I'm a big real estate developer, and, you know, I love this NASCAR, as you guys see and know. Like, we're getting way big in this NASCAR thing, as I call it, in the truck series and the O'Reilly series and the Cup series. And so we're just having fun growing that. But, you know, a giant part of what we do, you know, you guys know I own, part of the Cleveland Guardians. So we play baseball and we do all that stuff. But a big thing that we do in the community, especially up here in Northeast Ohio, but really what we get involved with is the NASCAR Foundation and what the NASCAR Foundation does. You know, so, you know, we're trying to do everything we can, which is really hard on the track. But what we can do and what we can give off the track is really a big focus of what we do at the Colick Companies and with all of our stuff and all of our philanthropy. So it's really cool that you say like that we're big givers. And, you know, that makes me feel good. That makes our company feel good. That makes my wife feel good. That makes my daughter feel good. And it's what we do.
Matt, celebrating 20 years of the NASCAR Foundation, which you mentioned, you're headed to New York City for the Honors Gala. You and your wife, Lisa, are going to be there as co-chairs. What makes this such an important night for you and the NASCAR Foundation?
Well, it's cool that they do it. So this is the first year that we've been involved in that. I mean, we're, it's a giant gala in New York City. I know Kristen Chenoweth is going to be there. She's one of the hosts. Jamie Little. So it's Kristen and Jamie Little are going to be the hosts. So I'm excited. It's black tie. So we have to get, I had to go to Men's Warehouse and rent a tux. The girls have to go get ball gowns. And so it's a really big gala that's raising a ton of money. I mean, millions of dollars, you know, for these kids. So I actually think it's a really cool thing that the France family and the NASCAR Foundation does, you know, for, I don't know, the community and for kids and I don't know. It's just a fun thing to get dressed up. I mean, how many times, when's the last time you were in a tux? You go to a wedding?
Last
right?
weekend.
For Doug, last weekend. For last me, it's weekend? Been a while.
I had to go to a wedding.
You were at a wedding last weekend in a tux?
I was, all right, first cool. time I've ever gone to a wedding wearing a tuxedo. I know we're getting off on a side street, but our general manager, Jerry Horn's daughter, got married, and he made it a big deal, Matt, so.
Okay, right. So that's my point. It's just cool to get dressed up, but at the end of the day, it's just to raise a bunch of money, for kids and the impact that NASCAR. I always talk honestly about the impact that NASCAR makes off the track. I mean, I mentioned before about like the Cleveland Guardians, but sports teams, sports leagues, around the country, but especially the NASCAR Foundation. I mean, we go to, throughout the year, and we're a big, part of what the NASCAR Foundation does in 16 tracks around the country every, 16 times a year. We give bikes away to kids. I mean, it's a really big deal at these tracks, and the NASCAR Foundation, and it doesn't get publicized, right? And so that's part of what, I mean, that's kind of why I'm on your show today, is to let everybody know how much the NASCAR Foundation does, for these kids. So when we go to, I know the biggest one is when we go to Daytona. I mean, I think last year we gave 200 bikes away, to these kids. I mean, we bus in 200 kids that are, underprivileged kids that probably have never had a bike before. We give them shoes, we give them helmets, we give them, bicycles, and we just have an awesome, fun day. It's actually a fun week that we give them messages, certain drivers, certain owners, certain, people from the public, talk to these kids about nutrition and about health and everything else. But anyway, it's really cool to be a part of. And so even as opposed to just talking about racing all the time, we get to talk about these kids and how we help the community and how to, make this country a better place to be.
Matt, so you just talked about one of the major initiatives that you're a part of with the NASCAR Foundation in Speediatrics, but you've also got Speedy Bear, which is around National Teddy Bear Day, which is actually coming up in just a few weeks. Why is that foundation and Speedy Bear so important to you and the NASCAR Foundation?
Well, I think it's one of the cooler things. It's actually one of the cooler things I've ever been part of. I mean, this year, usually go to over 100 hospitals, and give away teddy bears. I mean, there's National Pizza Day, there's National Grilled Cheese Day, there's a National Teddy Bear Day every year. So the NASCAR Foundation over the last several years, and I think this will be our sixth year being involved. But what we do is have our drivers and we go to hospitals all over the country. The last number I saw was 157 hospitals this year. Yep. So we'll give over 6,000 Speedy Bears, like little teddy. Here, I have one, like one of these.
Oh, man.
So cute.
And we go into hospitals and, every kid, and I say this all the time, like if you're a kid and you're in a hospital, well, if you're an adult in a hospital, but if you're a kid in a hospital, like you don't want to be there. There's no kid that wants to be in a hospital, whether it's because you're sick or whether you're injured or, for whatever reason. So so the NASCAR Foundation tries to brighten their spirits. So when you walk into a room or when a driver walks in and they're in their fire suit and they are a professional race car driver and they bring in and they give you a teddy bear and sign an autograph or take a picture, it brightens their day. And so that's the whole point, is to do that. So that's what we do. So again, over 150 hospitals this year, 6,000 teddy bears. I know we're donating. I know people can donate. I'm not sure how. It's at NASCARfoundation.org. Mm-hmm. I think you can give $25. I'm pretty sure that you can write a message to a kid that will receive your teddy bear and a message just to brighten their spirits and brighten their day. So it's cool. We've done it in Akron. Actually, Nicole Krieger comes up every year. We have our University of Akron marching band that comes out and plays for the kids. And we have like a parade and we have drivers come up and they give bear, these these Speedy Bears to the kids. So we're doing it in New York City this year. So we were just talking about the gala that we're having in New York City. So the day after, you know, we're going to Hassenfeld Children's Hospital in New York City, you know, at New York University, and New York City University or whatever it's called. Is it New York University? I don't even know what it is, but I know it's going to be a really big deal. And so I'm really looking forward to it. And that's in what, 2 weeks?
It's in 2 weeks. And so, then you also mentioned donations, and you're matching donations up to $25,000 to put more bears into the hands of these sweet children who are battling things that none of us want to be battling. How special is that to be saying, you know what, hey, we know the value and we're matching you to make the difference?
Yeah, we're matching up to $25,000. So for people that donate, it's feel like, how great is that? It just feels, it feels good to do. It just is. I'm blessed. I'm blessed to have had businesses and continue to be in business and, you know, be part of NASCAR and be able to give these awesome teddy bears to these kids. And it just is, it's one of those really, really awesome feel good things that we're able to do. So it's really good to be able to give one teddy bear, you know, to a kid. So I have talked to a lot of people. Like I said, this is our sixth year being involved. And even at the track, I mean, people, they honestly do stop me and say, hey, I donated a teddy bear. And when you can literally write a personalized message to a kid, you don't know who you're writing it to. You're just like, hey, you know, stay in the game. Like, you know, get well soon. You're going to be good. You got this. You know, it feels great.
Matt, one racing thing here. You guys tackled a new challenge this year. You brought Ram back into the truck series in a big way, four full-time teams and your all-star event. How was the challenge? Was it as hard as you imagined it might be, or where does that factor?
It's like way harder than we thought it would be. I mean, for real, honestly, it's way harder than we thought it would be. I'm really proud of our team and actually how we've done, but it's really hard. I mean, this is a really difficult sport. You've got a lot of teams that are trying really hard. You've got a lot of there's a lot of money that goes into it from, and I'm not talking about our team, but like other teams, and it's a really competitive, I mean, NASCAR is a really competitive sport, and you've got a lot of people that are really passionate about it. It's at the highest level. So, but we came at it saying five, you know, you don't start when we came in, when Colleague Racing came in, you guys, like, I don't know, 11 years ago, we had one car in the, you know, in the O'Reilly series, one. And that was really hard. I mean, we were really struggling to even qualify or be, you know, 25th. And, you know, and then you start to run the top 20 or try to get 15th or 10th, you know, and then you add another, we added another car and then another car, and then we went to the Cup Series. And but we just decided, like, hey, and I've known this in business, like, sometimes you just have to start. And so that was our plan this year, even with Ram and Stellantis coming in. It's like, let's just go. Sometimes you just have to rip the Band-Aid off and just go. So it's like, I don't know, five teams. We didn't decide to do this until, I don't know, late summer, last summer. And like we just went, so we're figuring it out. And but yeah, it's been hard. It's been super fun, and we're actually having a blast. Our drivers are, it's very, 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 very frustrating, you know, to not compete for a win. Like I said, we came in 10, 11 years ago. We've won 29 trophies. We've won 27 O'Reilly races. We won two Cup races. And, you know, so to not be in the story and not be up front and competing for wins is really tough on Colleague Racing and all the men and women at Colleague Racing. But we know what's ahead. We know how to do it because we've done it before. We can see exactly what we've got going on. And we are going to be a force to be reckoned with here in the next, if not next year, definitely in the next coming years. Well, it's just how we roll.
Always enjoy chatting with you. I get fired up just listening to you. You could be a motivational speaker if this whole business entrepreneurship thing doesn't work out. Thanks for what you're doing for the NASCAR Foundation and for people in general. We really appreciate you.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate everything you guys do. Thank you.
Team owner Matt Colleague and also Humanitarian, we appreciate him being with us here on Fast Talk.
Do you have diabetes? I'm sure you've seen the television commercials on the new CGM devices from all the top brands and how well they can help you manage your diabetes. Do you have the latest and newest in diabetes technology? The Diabetes Solution Center carries most of the top brands, and the great news is your insurance may cover most of the cost. Call our special CGM hotline today, and our friendly representatives will help see if you qualify. You could get a new CGM from the top brands at little or no cost to you. Make living with diabetes easier. You are just one free phone call away to learn if your insurance covers the cost. So make this free call today to the Diabetes Solutions Center and learn for free how to get your new continuous glucose monitor.
800-396-0150. 800-396-0150. 800-396-0150. That's 800-396-0150.
I'm Denny Hamlin, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, it's Charlie and Debbie, along with NASCAR legend Kyle Petty, inviting you to join us for Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown.
Each week, we'll put it in reverse and take a trip down memory lane, looking back at that week's top 20 country songs from years past.
We'll dive into what made those songs and artists move the needle, what pop culture trends made those years unique.
And you'll get to hear me tell stories only I can tell.
So don't miss Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown right here each week.
Welcome to PRN's At the Track. I'm Lenny Baticki. We are PRN's half-hour weekly show dedicated to the short track, dirt track, legends, and kart racing across the Southeast. We provide our audience with the news and insightful conversations with the newsmakers from grassroots racing.
How did that help you this time to take this victory from a grassroots perspective?
I definitely felt like Martinsville was a lot harder than the other one.
That's PRN's At the Track.
Treat to get to talk to Matt Colleague. He is such a fired up individual, and yeah, their truck programs struggled this year, but he admitted that. I thought that was interesting that he said, yeah, it's been tough.
That free agency program with them too has been awesome. I think Tony Stewart in a car, you've seen Ryan Newman, we'll see Regan Smith drive it two times this year. So
Elliott Sadler was in Richmond.
Yeah, that to me, that program just makes that whole situation a little bit better, because you're seeing these all-star drivers get in these trucks and run these races. Clint Bowyer was in there too.
It's fun, and it pumps a new form of energy into the truck race, which, I mean, the truck races don't need any extra energy. Those are so much fun to watch. But then you throw this in with a program that everybody was kind of indifferent, didn't know how it was going to go. It hasn't gone the best. We're going to throw some celebrities in there to try to kind of keep the energy rolling.
It will get better.
Yes.
It will.
It will get better. It's done about what I thought it was going to do.
Agreed. I mean, the expectations were low, and it's done pretty well, I think.
The expectations were low, and they met them.
Yes.
That didn't sound right.
No, it didn't.
No, that was terrible. I'm sorry I said that. Okay, so speaking of expectations, theirs were high for these four drivers. Kyle Larson, William Byron, Christopher Bell, Ross Chastain, all came into the year thinking this could be the year. This could be a title. Samantha, as we're sitting here, which one of these is the biggest surprise that they've not gotten a W?
I would go with Christopher Bell. I think that there's so much success that he's found every season. And then this season, it's fallen a little flat. I think it was 32 races without a win, which feels very uncharacteristic for a Christopher Bell. He's been fun to watch. He's raced well. I mean, he has 7 second place finishes, 13 top 10s, 4 stage wins. So he's doing the right things. It's just not coming together in one moment. So I think he's right there on that cusp.
What are you thinking, David?
For me, I think that the biggest question mark is Kyle Larson. 49 race winless streak, last year's champion. Yep. Hasn't won since Kansas on May 11th of 2025. There's just something going on with him, and I can't really put my finger on it. He was decent at New Hampshire, the best Hendrick car in the field by far, and he led a ton of laps at Bristol, but it just has not materialized into a race win yet. I know that he's locked in already in the 7th position in points for the chase, but there's just something a little bit off with that team, and I don't know what it is, but they just don't seem right in how I think Kyle Larson should be running at this point in the season. And so I've still got a lot of question marks for that team. I know that Hendrick and Chevy has that new body, and going to Daytona, we don't know how that will affect them. And we've got changes to that race anyway coming up Saturday. So we don't know all of the things that will play into that, but I just don't know where to go from here. If I'm a Kyle Larson fan or just even at Hendrick, what do we do at this point to right the ship and become more competitive to where we're in the mix when people are talking about a championship run?
Well, kind of rounding out this equation here, William Byron, who it wasn't all that long ago, won the first 2 races of a season.
Yeah.
Won back-to-back Daytona 500s, and now he's an afterthought.
Has he even put together back-to-back top 10s this year?
I don't think so, but I felt like that the race at New Hampshire sort of exemplified, it was a representation of his entire season.
Yeah.
The wheels literally fell off.
Yeah.
He had a tire fall off the car, and his day is done. And he was okay up until then. He wasn't going to win, but the fall off of Chevrolet and Hendrick is something that I think when we write the book on this season is going to be its own chapter.
Mm-hmm.
They've been a non-factor for the most part, aside from a couple of wins from Chase Elliott.
And I think earlier we were talking about Toyota. Beginning of the season was all about Toyota. Now we've kind of transitioned and we're talking about like Ford's coming in. They're making a splash. It hasn't really been any kind of a story for Chevy. It hasn't really been, it's been a non-starter.
To me, the biggest thing is Spire has overperformed.
Mm-hmm.
They've got 2 race wins this year from Daniel Suarez and Carson Hocevar. Hendrick underperformed. If you're going to grade them on their own rubric, they're not where they should be right now. And I think Kyle Petty has said it best. I've heard him on a couple of different programs. They're trying to take what should be middle-of-the-pack cars, 10th, 11th, 12th place cars, drive them up to where they should be because they have the expectations that we should be running top 5 every week. They just don't have the equipment right now.
You realize Trackhouse has as many wins as Hendrick.
Yeah.
SVG's got a couple of road course wins. And, you know, that's a big chunk of what Chevy has done this year. I'm not ready to flush them entirely because we've seen this resurgence of Ford. I don't know if that continues when we get back around to the mile-and-a-half racetracks. When we come back to Charlotte or go down to Darlington or some of these other tracks, that may even out a little bit. But, man, I'm still surprised, though, that we're here where we are and the 3 big drivers that we talked about don't have Ws this year. That's shocking.
It's just absolutely flabbergasting me. And to me, I think the only anomaly, and Samantha, you mentioned him, Christopher Bell, average start of 14.2, average finish of 14.37, runner-ups. He's in the mix.
He's
in the mix. He just doesn't have the wins.
They're not able to put it all together in one race. It's like you see it in this one. You're like, oh, okay, cool, we're getting it. But they can't pull it all together for one race.
Well, our studios are located here at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Seabell should have won the Coke 600 this year, but him and Denny Hamlin get into a cat fight with each other, and that lets Daniel Suarez go off and win it.
Yeah, and then he pushes a car to the win with Blaney at Echo Park.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, eventually it's going to start wearing on you. But I think that they're in a better position than the other drivers on this list. I know you mentioned Larson and Byron and Chastain. I think out of those 4, Bell has the better shot of making something happen than the other 4 do.
By the way, Chastain was officially eliminated from the chase at New Hampshire.
Yeah.
And that I I find that odd. I thought his star was ascending.
Yes.
And this year it's been nightmares for him.
They just can't get out of their own way. I think they're fighting too many struggles over there at Trackhouse with their equipment. And unless you're Shane Van Gisbergen and you're on a road course, I just don't think that those cars have what it takes to win at a intermediate track or at a short track.
And he may not have a driver in his current employ in 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We already know Zilich is going. Chastain has one more year. He could bail. And SVG is a pretty valuable property. Mm-hmm. Somebody's looking at him saying, okay, we could get him. That probably gives us 3 wins a year.
Yeah.
I don't know what that Trackhouse team's going to look like in another year. We'll take a timeout. Be right back.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
This October, the stakes are high in a city that never sleeps. The South Point 400 takes over Las Vegas Motor Speedway October 2nd through 4th as the NASCAR chase ignites. Every lap is a gamble. Every move can make or break a championship dream. Feel the adrenaline. Witness the drama. Experience the thrill of NASCAR. Don't miss the South Point 400 weekend, October 2nd through 4th. Tickets at LVMS.com or call 800-644-4444.
I'm Alex Bowman, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
In addition to traditional summer camp, Victory Junction also hosts family weekends, partner programs, and day camps. And the Victory Junction Outreach Program takes camp fun beyond our gates to children at hospitals and partner sites throughout North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Victory Junction makes the impossible accessible.
This is a place that needs to be here 50 years from now, 100 years from now. We are never going to run out of kids that can benefit from Victory Junction.
Discover how you can get involved at victoryjunction.org.
Chase Elliott on his relationship with Napa.
His fit for your 13th year together. They've been a great partner. I think as time goes on, those relationships get better if you're lucky enough to have a partner for that length of time, because they get to know you, you get to know them, we figure out what works for each other, and we can really start pulling the rope in the same direction. And I think that that's where our relationship has really thrived the most.
NASCAR Network Radio drives business.
Guessed it. It's Fast Talk here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network, from Speedway Motorsports Communications Department, or as the cool kids call them, comms. Is that right? Is
it's comms.
A thing?
Yeah.
It's not Marcom anymore, just comms?
We're comms. No, we're comms.
All right, you just dropped a Marcom. You can't just do that and not say what that is.
Marketing and communications?
Yeah. I mean, we work with the marketing department, but we are two separate entities, so we're the comms team.
There you go.
So that you're almost speaking in emoji when you say that, I feel like.
Yeah, just the abbreviation language.
Yeah.
Alphabet soup for everybody.
It is, but I think it's also funny. If you started naming a handful of things that we hear in radio or you hear in TV that are just normal everyday conversations for us with directors and producers, and you said it to a normal average crowd, they'd be like, I'm sorry, what are you asking me about?
All right, you worked in television as a sports anchor?
Yes, sir.
Where?
I worked in Lubbock, Texas, Roanoke, Virginia, South Bend, Indiana, and freelance a little bit in Houston.
Intrepid traveler here.
You got a lot of miles
You got to move around so you can move up.
Yeah. Well, you've probably been here then at Speedway Motorsports as long as you stayed anywhere else, because you're relatively young, and to do all those other things you did, you didn't plant a lot of roots.
No, I moved every 2 years in TV because my contract was 2 years, and that was really the only way you could move up. And I've been here 4 years. It'll be 5 years in March. This is the longest I've ever lived anywhere outside of college and growing up in Houston, which is kind of wild to say that I'm like, we're here. We've planted roots and I've been here for 4 years and I've moved every two.
Funny question, since you talked about contracts, what's the weirdest thing you've ever seen put into a television contract?
oh, I wasn't allowed to wear the same outfit within 2 months on air.
Oh, wow.
Did you have to furnish your own wardrobe, or did they do that?
I did. I had to furnish my own wardrobe, so I rented my clothes, and I still do rent the runways. Like, yeah. I'm getting a shipment every two weeks in the month. But, because you weren't allowed to wear the same clothes.
Doug, we'd be in trouble, man. I'm over here wearing PRN shirt almost every day.
The shirt.
The shirts.
But it was wild. That was the weirdest thing, because I was like, I'm sorry, how? And they're like, you just got to figure it out. We just don't want you to wear the same thing.
Every 2 months, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big rotation.
Why I rented clothes. I couldn't afford that lifestyle.
You couldn't have had a closet that big.
No.
All right, let's do this now.
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
All righty. Show that has excellence in broadcasting written all over it.
Award
right
winning,
here.
Right?
Award something. I don't know. Actually, our standards are, what is it? Our goals are low and we meet
expectations
are low. Expectations
are low.
All right, here we go. I've got some statements. I'll read them. The panel will mull them over. If they agree with said statement, it gets a green flag. If they disagree, black flag. That's pretty simple. Here we go. Let's go with Samantha first.
Ooh.
Christopher Bell will win the championship with one or fewer wins this season.
Green flag. I think he can do it. We've just talked about he can pull it together and make it happen. I think he's got all the pieces. He's just got to put it into one race, and I think he can take the checkered flag.
All right, Doug Rice, what do you think?
Black flag. I'm not going to speak of the person that will win the championship for fear that we'll curse them.
Happens every year. How about David Style?
I think it's possible. I think he could go on a Matt Kenseth 2003 type run where Matt had 11 top fives, 25 top tens. And only led like 354 laps.
You know what?
Bell's already led 539. It's doable. I say do it.
Small victories.
All right, Doug Rice, we go to you on this one. NASCAR should also race on the streets of Washington, D.C. If for no other reason, it would be refreshing to see something moving fast there.
Okay, I was not expecting that. A red, white, and blue flag for that. Sure. I peeked over at the IndyCar race some just to look at the background. I thought it was exceptionally cool.
Yeah.
I'd love Dave to Styles? See
it. Green flag. Anything that we can do to help celebrate our nation and add a little bit more patriotism, I'm for it.
Yeah.
Definitely green flag. I watched the IROC races, and they were so much fun. I was like, this is exciting. A lot of people tuned in. A lot of different eyeballs can help spread the word of the sport. All about it.
All right, let's go to David here. Your 2026 champ will be someone you don't expect. Of course, you've already said it's going to be.
I'm going to say black flag. I think it'll be someone that is in the top four or five that we're talking about. I think it'll be the regular cast of drivers that we have. I don't think we'll see an unexpected driver, even though I am going against my logic that I said earlier in the show. I believe it'll be our normal cast of characters.
All right, Samantha.
I'm going to say green flag. I think that we've talked about so many different drivers who are just missing little bits and pieces of things. And we also talked earlier, 1 through 10 is a shot. And I think right now people are basically locking it on three different guys, Blaney, and we've got
Hamlin
and Reddick. So I think that there's something there. I think that anybody can do it.
All right, Doug Rice.
The champion is going to be
someone
a guy
you don't expect.
No. We're going to expect this person.
Yeah.
That will not be named.
Right. Will not be named.
It's not Christopher Bell.
No. It is not.
All right, Doug Rice.
All right, thanks a bunch. Hey, we got to take a quick time out and come back. One last thing.
How did Christopher Bell become Christopher Bell? It started as a fire within, a drive to be better, faster, sharper. Toyota saw that fire, kindled it, gave it resources to grow. Hours in the simulator, weeks working with Toyota engineers, years of rigorous training. It didn't happen overnight. It definitely didn't happen alone. But that fire now forges a legacy. That's how you inspire the next generation of racing. That's how Christopher Bell became Christopher Bell. Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system. Keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions.
trust the many customers who said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at ZMAX.com or follow us on Facebook and X.
I'm Bubba Wallace, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
These cars are about to fire it off in anger.
Boy, what a save. We got cars sideways. It's Christopher Bell. He spins and collects a couple cars.
Side by side, Austin Cindric has him at the line, and he will take the lead into one.
Here comes Shane Van Gisbergen on the bottom. He's looking for second.
Now Chris Buescher fired out of a cannon in turn two. He's right into the rear bumper of Ty Gibbs.
Oh, it's a multi-car accident. I want to say 15, 20 cars. Guys, that took out about two-thirds of the field.
We have a fight on pit road between two crew guys. One of them is with Ty Gibbs. One is with Brad Keselowski.
Blaney, bottom of the racetrack. Chastain makes it three wide. He'd like to take a spot here on the backstretch, and he charges. He wants the lead in turn three. Ross Chastain shot out of a cannon from the sixth starting spot. He has already moved up to second. The battle now for third on the high side. Kyle Larson, Riley Herbst challenging low.
Kyle Larson moves up to the top side. Going to lose a little bit of ground.
This is PRN.
We've covered a lot of ground today. Once again, special thanks to Matt Collig. And thanks to Matt for the great work that he does for the NASCAR Foundation. And he comes on here every year, and we even got him to talk a little bit of racing. Let's do this now.
One last thing.
Because in broadcasting, you're not supposed to follow your own production on the air.
Yeah.
Makes it sound like there's only one person on the show. Since that's Samantha who voiced the one last thing, you get to give us your one last thing.
My one last thing will be about someone very important to me. So sports is not for everyone. If you work in sports, it's a very, very hard deal. You're gone a lot, and I couldn't do this if it was not for my wife. We celebrated our 12th wedding anniversary this past Sunday, which... if you're doing the math, you're like, man, he looks really young to have been married 12 years. We got married pretty young, but we've got two wonderful children together. She's a great mom. She does a lot for me, and I couldn't have asked for a better partner in life. So big shout out to my wife, Mallory. Love you, babe.
That's wonderful. That's very heartfelt. It's amazing they allowed you to get married in junior high.
Yeah, you know, right? We fudged our dates on the birth certificates. That's exactly what we did.
Samantha?
We are in the middle of wedding planning. We get married December 12th, my fiance and I, and we did cake tasting over the weekend.
What'd you land on?
We haven't decided. Y'all, it is so hard. Do you know how big of a decision that is on what cake you're going to have?
Well, you're not going to eat much of it anyway, so.
So I know. It's got to be a good cake
for
everybody else.
You're not going to do the face smashing cake on
no.
it. I despise that.
Are you guys going to save the topper and then
no,
eat
see,
a piece
that's weird to me, too.
Yeah.
Like, who has space in their freezer for a chunk of cake?
Ours got lost, and I'm really glad it got lost.
ours didn't, and this was a long time ago, but we pulled it out on the one-year anniversary, and it's not advisable. Just, if you want to keep the topper, that's great. If not, move on. Funny. I'm going to go in the wedding direction, too. I attended the wedding of the general manager here at PRN's daughter, got married up at Grandfather Mountain this weekend, Linda, and it was one of the most cool weddings I've ever been to. It's very lavish without being over the top. It was beautiful, and it just made my wife and I feel really good to be a small part of something like that and traditional vows, and it was just nice. And I can't say it any other way. And I'm not a big attending wedding person, except I'll be going to one in December when Samantha gets married.
Yeah.
So looking forward to that. But it was just really cool. It was idyllic. It was up at Grandfather Mountain, North Carolina. If you've ever been there or seen that, you know the natural beauty of that. So, hey, we're ending up on a kind of happy note here. Who wins Daytona quickly?
Oh, somebody that we don't expect.
Okay, that's
so, I'm going to go with Joey Logano.
I'm going to go with Josevar. How about that?
Hey.
All right, we're going to take a break. By the way, keep it between the navigational beacons.
Between the buoys.
5 o'clock somewhere.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story.
Be part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.